Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joint Ghost TV on this beautiful Friday, December 13th, 2024. Happy birthday almost tomorrow to my sister and then my other sister on the 15th. So happy birthday, my dear sisters. I love you both. Wish we were near. I want to talk to you about you are already blessed. Did you know that you are already blessed? But no, Trig, I'm not. My body hurts. I'm broke. My money, I don't have enough money. Egg prices are too high. I can't afford a house, an apartment. Can't afford anything. I can't even move out of my house. My clothes don't fit. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I don't have a boyfriend, or my marriage isn't right. Blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, I just came out of a season, I would say a two-year, three-year season, where I told myself all of those things. And I want to tell you that it is true, but it is also not true. Let me explain. There are two books that have really helped me understand this concept. One is called The Sedona Method. And basically, the Sedona Method says that you are living in the end of suffering. There is no suffering. All there is joy and happiness. And especially the first part, how we are living in the end of suffering, that suffering has ended as we know it. And that really has hit me, even when I don't feel that or my circumstances don't show that, I go back to that because it's a truth of God. There is no suffering. All there is happiness. And I remember thinking about this when I was going through so much death in the family and all kinds of mess, all kind of nonsense, all kinds of stuff. Thinking that if Jesus has already died on the cross and has forgiven me of my sins and he has conquered death, if I believe that even if I die, God forbid, all my family, whatever, like the worst things happen, and they almost have at times, and I have felt in despair the last few years, that my future is secure because of Jesus, because I will have life once again, and I will see my grandma, my father, my family, my dog, I guess, I don't know. And so, like Paul says, oh, death, where is your sting? And so if death, which for me, and I think for most of us, is my worst nightmare, as well as bankruptcy, then, and if God already has it in his hands, then what am I worried about? There is no suffering. And if I do go broke, and if I lose all my possessions, and if I lose everything, but if I have love, then maybe I'm still rich. Now, let me just thinking about when I was unemployed, I didn't feel rich. The times when my wife was dealing with health stuff, or I was, or my mommy, or my dog, when she died, I wasn't feeling blessed or happy. I was experiencing suffering. And so which one is it? Well, I think both are true. It is true that there is no suffering for those who have believed, for those who have a perspective of Christ, for those who have really, understood or ascended to that place of awareness of the presence of God and of the joy that he brings, of the perspective that he brings. And those moments are far and few between for most humans. We might stay in that place of perspective for maybe a day or two, or maybe even weeks, months maybe, but it definitely comes and goes. The other place where I have gotten a lot of solace and comfort from is, of course, the scripture, Psalm 73 from the Passion Translation. And this one hits me because I often think, what's the point of being faithful to God and believing if there's still so much pain? And God can't deliver me or keep me from pain. All he can do is be there. And is he really there? Am I wrong in complaining or in thinking that God's not there for me? Well, David in Psalm 73 had the same questions about the wicked. His complaint wasn't, why isn't God with me? His complaint was, why are the wicked succeeding? Why are they multiplying? Why are their riches multiplying and I'm getting poor? Why are the rich becoming richer and the poor become poorer, basically? Shout out to Bernie Sanders. So he says in Psalm 73, have I been foolish to play by the rules and keep my life pure? What a great question. What's the point of doing the right things, playing by the rules, if my dog still died, if my body's still falling apart, if my wife this or my son that or my church this, and if gas prices are still, you know, you name it, right? If there's still pain in the world, what's the point of being faithful to God and believing and keeping the rules, keeping my life pure, he calls it. He says, here I am suffering under your discipline day after day. What a wonderful statement. Here I am suffering under your discipline. Meaning, here I am being faithful and committed to you, which is a struggle, which is a discipline, which is a loss, you could say. It's not what the flesh wants. I want to eat and do whatever I want, but God says no. So what's the point? He says, here I am suffering under your discipline day after day. Now, that could also mean after God's discipline, because sometimes God disciplines us. He's definitely disciplined me many times, deservedly. He says in verse 14, I feel like I'm being punished all day long. Wow, no truer statement, right? I've said that so many times. God, you're mean. I feel like you're being mean to me. It seems like my life is going in the wrong direction. Where are you, God? I remember a few weeks ago, I went for a walk. I think either I went for a run or I was with our dog, Roxy. Shout out to Roxy. And I kept hearing the song, or I was singing the song, You Make Me Brave. And I just kept saying, God, please make me brave because I don't have it in me. I have no strength of my own. Please make me brave. And I was going through a ton of stuff, man, fear and all that stuff. Worried about this and that. And then that song also says, you are for us, not against us. And I kept saying, God, it feels like you're against me. You keep bringing these terrible things like wave after wave. But yet the song kept challenging me to say, no, Lord, you are for me, not against me. I remember crying as I was walking Roxy. It was like maybe 9 or 10 p.m. Just crying out to God and crying, just saying, Lord, please strengthen me. I believe, I want to believe that you're for me, not against me. And I kept declaring it, Lord, you are for me, not against me. Make me brave. And so he says, I feel like I'm being punished all day long. If I had given into my pain and spoken of what I was really feeling, it would have sounded like unfaithfulness to the next generation. Man, I think of my kids and I think, yep, when I say God isn't there and God's not good and all this stuff, I'm not only ruining my own life and hurting God, but I'm also hurting my kids and my wife. They need me to believe. They need me to trust. They need me to be faithful even when I feel like God is unfaithful or life isn't going for me or going my way. I need to declare that for my sake, for the sake of my wife and kids and everyone around me. If I give in to my pain, David says, and spoke how I really feel, then it would have sounded like unfaithfulness. And I can say that God is faithful. Sometimes it feels like you have to fake it till you make it. You have to believe or lie or tell yourself something that you're not feeling or experiencing because you know it's true. Because my mommy says that, my grandma used to say it, my wife says it all the time, because people say it, I sing about it, preach about it, read about it, blah, blah. Even though my life, my circumstances, my chemistry, my biology, my mind, my thoughts, my feelings tell me otherwise, I know that God is faithful. And that he is faithful to the end. Verse 16, when I tried to understand it all, I just couldn't. It was too puzzling, too much of a riddle for me. Wow, too much of a riddle to me. Isn't that the truth, right? We can't understand. How can this be good? How can the loss of my son when he left for college, how can that be good? But yet it is, because God has a plan for his life. How can the loss of my beautiful dog Daisy of 13, 12 years, how can that be good? I don't know. It isn't good. But we can at least say I was strong. I endured the loss. I lost my uncle, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. My wife went through a health scare. I went through some stuff. My mommy went through a health scare. All kinds of craziness. And I can't say, oh, look at me, but at least I can say I didn't lose perspective. I didn't lose control. I didn't lose at all. I hung in there. and we just kept going. And eventually we lost Daisy. but maybe you hear Roxy in the background. Eventually, we went and got Roxy. And she barks a lot and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's she's a joy in our lives. She's a joy in our house. And my son is nearby, and he's doing well, graduating from school. My wife is better and got through all this stuff. I am way better. My mommy got better. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my uncle, Rochelle's uncle, we lost all these people in 2 years. I mean, I can't say anything except that they lived beautiful lives and they left us amazing examples. I lost my father years ago, my grandmother who raised me. I can't say that was good, of course. Loss isn't good. Grieving is horrible. But you can say that God was with me. God was with us in the loss, in the valley, in the grief. And sometimes I think that, at least for me, I think I'm supposed to be a super Christian or a superhero in the middle of loss. I feel so guilty that I'm so faithless and my faith is so small. And yet that's all God desires. That's all God seeks. It's just a small mustard seed faith, just a drop of faith. And can I say that I had a drop of faith? Yeah, I had a drop of faith. Not much more, not a cup, not a gallon, not a barrel of faith, not an ocean, but at least I had a drop of faith. And God, honor that. And my life is blessed. And your life is blessed. In the middle of all the craziness and the loss these last 4 years, since the election or since the pandemic or since 9/11, or I look at my kids and I'm thinking, when are they going to afford a house or find the man or the woman of their dreams and be able to build a life the way that my wife and I did when we were 20? Things do seem so expensive and so difficult for young people today. It's not just my kids. It's every 20-year-old that I meet. But I have to believe. And sometimes all that God wants is just for us to have a drop of faith, just a little bit of faith, just a mustard seed, just a grain of faith, like a grain of salt, and say, Lord, I don't have a lot. I have 99% worry and concern and suffering, but I can bring to you my childlike faith, God, that I'm just crying out to you, God. I'm not going to lose control or my faith or belief. I'm not going to, even though I want to lose control and just ruin my life, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I'm going to continue to be faithful. Even when I'm faithless, Lord, I will continue to be faithful because you are faithful, and believe that a new day is coming. And so he says here, verse 16, I try to understand it all, but I just couldn't. It was too puzzling, too much of a riddle to me. And isn't that how pain feels, like a riddle? When I was going through stuff and my wife was dealing with some health stuff, I thought, well, this is like a horrible nightmare. What a puzzle that I don't want to be in. I don't want to play this game, God. This is a terrible game. This is like a nightmare. This is the worst game, the best, the worst nightmare. This is an unfair experience. And that's how it feels when you're going through all kinds of stuff, right? You just don't know what God is doing. You're not even aware or sure of what God's plan is. You can't be. It is a puzzle. But then he says in verse 17, but then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, and in the light of glory, my distorted perspective vanished. Then I understood that the destiny of the wicked was near. And so again, in his context for David, he's complaining about the wicked getting rich while he was getting poor. And so he says, What helped me? Finally, I came into the presence of God. In the light of his glory, my distorted perspective vanished. I understood that God is good, that God has a plan. And he says the wicked will fall. He says the wicked are on a slippery path to destruction. The wicked will be consumed with terrors forever. So finally, David understood God's plan. He went into the presence of God. He worshiped God in the temple. He brought a sacrifice of praise. He lifted his hands. He danced before the Lord. He got on his knees. He wept before God. He danced before the Lord. And he finally heard from God. And God said, David, I got you, son. And I'm going to destroy all the wicked around you. You may think they're getting away with murder, but they're not. They're on a path to destruction. And the riches are yours. They are poor and you are rich. You have to believe me, you have to trust me, you have to look to me. And that's another thing that I barely did, but I did. I just remember, like I said, on that walk with Roxy late at night, I was just saying, Lord, make me brave, Lord. make me brave. And I had two revelations, kind of like David here. One, I went into my garage. I had lost my car key because it's just one single key that's broken, blah, blah, anyway. And I had lost it for like a month. I was using a spare key and I had looked everywhere, blah, blah, blah. Finally going into my garage looking for some lights for Christmas, and there was the key. There was my car key underneath all this pile of cables. And God told me, because this is one of those moments where you hear the voice of God, son, I got you. David, I got you. You were looking everywhere for this thing. You had given up hope. You thought, okay, it's gone. I have to just do this and that and maybe buy another one for $300, blah, blah, blah. And look how easily, without your help, without your smarts, without your effort, I can do a miracle. As small as that was, it really, really helped me understand God's goodness and his provision, and he doesn't need me. Something I struggle with, I'm always thinking that he needs me. Not that he needs me, that I have to do it for him. That God's not going to do anything, so I have to take matters into my own hands. You ever been there? But God keeps saying, David, did you find that key? Did you know where it was? Did you keep looking? No, you had given up hope. You stopped looking. And look how quickly I can fix your big problems or your little problems or any problem. Like that, snap of my fingers, there's the key. And then after that, something even more meaningful and serious. My wife has been dealing with some health stuff, very concerning stuff for me and her, and she's better now, and I think she's fine. I'm pretty sure she is fine by the grace of God. But a week before she had all these tests and stuff, I had a vision. I was praying next to her at night, like 10, 11 p.m., praying, just holding her, and just I had my hand on her arm, and I was just praying for my wife. I must say, in fear, maybe a little bit of faith, because I was praying after all. I wasn't, I don't know, hating God or anything. I was praying. And in the middle of my prayer to God, as small as it was, my faith was barely there, just waning, I had a vision that I was inside of this one area of my wife's body where I had these concerns, and we had these concerns. And God was showing me that there was nothing to fear. This is like a week before we got the final results. I literally, God almost took me inside of her body, and I could see that there was nothing to worry about. Incredible. I remember literally praying and crying tears of joy. Alone in bed, 11 p.m., next to my wife. She was asleep. She had no idea. I told her after the fact. I said, you know what, Rochelle, I had a vision about this day. When we finally got the good news, I told her, and that gave me strength, and that gave her strength. Now I have to confess, that vision and that belief and that discernment that God gave me lasted maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. Towards the end of that week, I wouldn't say I was fearing as badly as I was before the vision, but I was fearing again. I thought, well, maybe it was just something I made up. But God showed me how faithful he is. And he brought me into his presence, into his sanctuary, into his glory, the light of his glory. And he changed my distorted perspective. And I give thanks to God. My life is blessed. You know, I'll close with this. I remember telling God, Lord, even if things hadn't gone our way for my wife and I with what she dealt with, would I still praise you and think that you're good? Well, not in the same way, but I would still praise him. I would still trust him and believe him and keep praying. And maybe you're in a place where you're not getting good results in whatever area. You're still in the battle. All I can say to you is all that God requires is just a mustard seed of faith. Maybe your victory is just to remain faithful to God and to not lose control, to not give up, to not leave the faith, to not blame God or curse God, or to not just completely lose control and lose your life. Maybe that is the victory in the valley. Until one day he brings you into his presence and into his sanctuary, and he shows you the truth, and he vanishes or he removes your distorted perspective. Because the truth of the matter is that what I was believing back then was that a distorted perspective of God it was, I wasn't making things up. These things were painful. I had real fears and concerns. But my perspective of God and His plan was distorted. Most of all, the perspective that I had about myself was distorted. And God showed up. I'll close with this. A couple days ago, I got a new guitar. It's a dream come true for me. Maybe 10, 20 years ago, I saw this guitar. It's a PRS, Paul Reed Smith. They're kind of Gibson meets Fender, and they're beautiful guitars. I remember seeing them on a magazine, 10, 20 years ago, and putting this picture in my garage of these beautiful PRS guitars, I think four of them. I still have them there to this day. They're still there right now. And then my friend, shout out to Joel, JV, he began to buy PRSs, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm like, wow. Those are so gorgeous. He had this one blue teal one. I don't know why I always liked that one. They all sound amazing. And he's a great player, way better than me. But I like the look of that and the sound of it, etc. This is maybe years ago. Well, I don't know how it happened. Did I say something to him? I don't know. He sent me a picture of that guitar. He had no idea that I loved that one guitar, the blue one, PRS. And he said, hey, Trigg, do you want to buy this guitar? You know what? I must have asked him. And so he said, I'm selling this one. I said, how much? Blah, blah, blah. I said, I'll buy it. I asked Rochelle. I said, Rochelle, can this be my Christmas / Father's Day, birthday, all this stuff? And she said, get it, David, get it. And so last night, my friend brought it, Joel brought it. And today I recorded a song that I wrote years ago, Christmas Carol, with that guitar. It sounds amazing. I got up from the recording studio, saw my guitar, came and recorded this podcast. I thought, what a blessed life I live. What a blessed life I live. I have everything I could ever need, want, or desire. Yeah, I still have a beat-up car, and yeah, my driveway's still a mess, and yeah, my roof needs replacing, and yeah. But I mean, I'm telling you, it's amazing how good God has been in the big things in life. And in the little ones too. A guitar is not a big thing, meaning not something I need. I already have like 10 guitars. But I wanted that guitar years ago. And I don't know how it happened. How God provided the money. How God gave me the strength. How God brought my friend into my life. And how he began to buy these beautiful guitars that I wanted. And then just out of nowhere, just suddenly, this thing happened with this guitar, and there it is. Literally, it's right outside of this studio where I'm recording this. What a blessing. My life, your life, is blessed now. Will it be more blessed when I make $500,000 and I buy a BMW, which is my dream car? Shout out to BMW. Of course, I'll be more blessed, but I'm already blessed. Will I be more blessed when I have a new roof and a second or third house and I am impacting the lives of thousands of kids and adults and young people? Yeah, of course I'll be more blessed. Or when I lose 20 pounds, or when I look like Brad Pitt or whatever, of course I'll be more blessed then. But I'm already blessed. I know what it's like to be in grief, to be in the gutter, to be lost, to be afraid, to worry sick. To be worried sick about this, that, and the other. And I know what it's like to experience the presence of God and the faithfulness of God. And I am blessed. You are blessed. I want to just pray for a few friends that I'm thinking about. My friend Eddie, he was going through a lot a couple years ago. And I've been praying for him. We texted back and forth a couple days ago. He's doing better. And I thought, you know what? Everyone is going through stuff, right? And my friend Eddie is going through a lot of stuff. But even in his pain, he is at a better place right now than he was a couple years ago when he was going through even more stuff. And I think no matter how much more there is left for us to do, or how much more we want or we would wish God would do today, you're blessed today. You're already blessed compared to yesterday or a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Now, maybe you're worse off today than you were 5 years ago. Maybe you're not as happy today as you were 3, 4, 10 years ago. But it doesn't change God's presence or God's power or God's goodness. All you have to do is wait for the Lord to bring you into His sanctuary. to bring you into his light, to bring you into his perspective, and to distort and to defeat all of the lies of the enemy, all of the lies of your own perspective, your own mind, your own thoughts and feelings, and to show you where that key to your life is, to show you that guitar of your dreams, to show you to give you a vision for how things truly are, what he's really doing behind the scenes, inside of the problem that you're facing. He's going to one day bring you into that awareness so you can see how good and faithful he is. That's what I've experienced, my dear friends, these last, I don't know, 3-6 months, amidst a lot of difficulties. Wow, I wouldn't say the hardest ones of my life. I've been through some even worse stuff, but I would say it's top 5, top 3. My prayer for you today is that you would know that God is faithful and that God is good, and that your life today, as it is here, December 2024, is blessed. And better days are coming, better blessings, more perspective, more of his presence, more blessings, more of God is coming your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for being here, and I will see you next time. Adios.